This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, I'm Philip C, and welcome to The Breakfast Grill. On today's Breakfast Grill, we are in conversation with Muhammad Daud Muhammad Arif, CEO of MHTC, short for Malaysia Healthcare Travel Council, as we understand how MHTC plans to rebuild the medical tourism industry in Malaysia. You launched the 2021 to 2025 Malaysian Healthcare Travel Industry Blueprint in November.
Well, Philips, this is the key and opportune time, actually. Having the pandemic on us since 2020 and now moving into end of 2021, some people call it a downtime. MHTC doesn't call it downtime. This is the right time and opportune time for us to gather back our thoughts, get our industry player together and see how we can move towards the future more effectively and more aggressively.
Very interesting, right? Because your blueprint is split into two, right? Recovery and growth, essentially. But I still wonder whether it is really the right time to do it. We are just coming out from the pandemic. We are still seeing people and we're seeing ICU rates still being, occupancy rates being high. I think people are going to question, is this really the time to promote medical tourism overseas at the moment when we should focus internally?
So it's a very good question and let me try to clarify it this way. First and foremost, when we promote medical or healthcare travel into Malaysia, we are specifically looking at private healthcare facility in Malaysia. They have enough capacity, they have enough doctors and nurses that cater for Malaysian, I would say, patients as well as international patients as well. Especially during the pandemic, the number of international patients coming in has been dropped so much. So that itself showcased that there's an excess capacity for us to even have to treat international patients. Beyond that, I would also share, MHTC work with 73 registered and identified private healthcare facilities in Malaysia. There are more than 250 private healthcare facilities for Malaysian patients as well. So only 73 have been identified to have this need or I would say desire to cater for international patients. So we are only working with this small group of private facilities that goes and try to attract international patients comes to Malaysia.
So focus on private. You are very clear you've accredited the 73 over institutions. Doesn't touch public, doesn't compromise the public healthcare system in this country. There is this argument still though that for private healthcare with overseas investments coming in, there is this tendency that it could increase medical cost in this country on the private side. Is that argument valid?
Many people have many opinions and we listen to people's opinion and we try to investigate as well. But let me just try to explain it this way. First and foremost, medical healthcare in Malaysia, the private sector side, is among the cheapest within the region or in fact globally. Specifically because one of our unique selling proposition is that our healthcare treatment cost is being capped by the Ministry of Health. So private hospital cannot over-commercialize medical treatment either for Malaysian patients or international patients because it's very well capped and private healthcare institution have to adhere to this.
So give me a sense, before the pandemic in 2019, how much did the private healthcare industry rely on medical tourism?
On average, I would say there are many private healthcare institutions in Malaysia that provide their facility for domestic patients. There are some hospital, I would say some in Penang and Malacca. They have almost, I would say 60-40. 60 is for Malaysian patient and 40 for international patient. But the others, many of them are still focusing on domestic patient with a certain number of I would say hospital bed and capacity for treatment for international patients as well. But what is interesting that I can share, Philip, is that from 2011 to 2019, before the pandemic hits, the growth rate of the international patients coming into Malaysia to seek treatment have grown more than 90%. There has been great confidence. There have been great, I would say, recognition, the Malaysian healthcare and services that we have in terms of medical excellence and services excellence, whereby people trust and come to Malaysia to seek treatment. And when they come, the economic benefit to the country is wide, especially when we hit 1.7 billion ringgit Malaysia of hospital revenue. These are just hospital bill alone. When they come to Malaysia, that benefit this our economy. Expand further, the economic benefit spill over goes beyond up to 7 billion when we see they spend on hotels, they spend on airline, they spend on food and also on leisure. That spill over can go up to 7 billion ringgit as a direct contribution to the economy.
Okay, so 1.7 billion ringgit, you're saying generated 7 billion in multipliers. So essentially, there's a 4x multiplier effect of the medical tourism industry on the overall overall economy. And I want to keep sticking on to that 1.7 billion. That's a very interesting reference point for 2019, right? That was the peak where it is. And we all know the pandemic has ravaged across all industries, and I'm sure also for the medical tourism industry. Even looking at 2020 numbers, when I saw in the blueprint, your numbers have now fallen back to 2011 numbers, 10 years back. How is 2021 shaping up for you guys?
Well, we came into 2021 with high optimism, looking at a bright 2021
with hope.
Opportunity. Yeah, hope. Unfortunately, it didn't happen, but it's okay. We are still there in terms of the target that we are looking at for 2021. We hope to achieve RM 560 million ringgit in terms of hospital bills, and we are on track for that. But that's an optimistic target that we have set for ourselves. But a more realistic target would be 480 million. But we are within that range moving towards the end of December. But more importantly, is moving to 2022. We don't want to sit back. We want to make sure that the industry is ready. So we have brought together the whole ecosystem that will provide end-to-end services, I would say seamless services to the patient. And moving into 2022, we are targeting about RM for 800 million ringgit, 800 million ringgit of revenue on hospital bills alone. Yeah? I have to repeat that.
Yep.
So that benefit will go to the Malaysian economy.
So let's just talk about your revenue trajectory, because we saw the blueprint, as you say. 500 million is your baseline now in 2021. You're going to go 800 million in 2022, reach close to a billion in 2023, and then it jumps back to pre-pandemic 1.7 billion by 2025. That is the revenue projection. Can you explain to us what is the basis of that revenue trajectory? How did you come to that conclusion that this was going to be the pathway in how you grow your revenue?
So this is specifically out of our medical travel blueprint 2021 to 2025. And when we developed this document and that trajectory, we work very closely with the private sector. We look at their capacity. We look at their desire or their appetite to go to international patient and bring international patient coming to Malaysia. And we also look at the possibility of this pandemic subsiding and moving into endemicity in the near. So with all this factor coming in, we have put this trajectory up to 2025, moving to pre-pandemic level. But of course, we have to be realistic.
Yeah.
Things are very fluid, and we have to be agile in terms of strategizing ourselves to meet that target.
That's true, you know, because there's one big assumption, isn't it? Endemicity.
Yes.
For you to be able to hit the 800 million number in 2022. But I want to bring us to the longer vision, right? The goal to basically hit pre-pandemic medical tourism numbers by 2025. Essentially, 2025 is 1.7 billion, very close to what you got in 2019. What's our share? What's our market share in the global medical tourism? Because in 2019, really our share of overall medical tourism globally is really under 1%, right? Do you expect to like hit and grow our share, Malaysia's contribution to medical tourism, much higher by 2025? What's the goal there?
Well, in terms of market share, first and foremost, let me set the base. The market will grow up to $250 billion by the year 2025. So the pie of the business is growing quite extensively, and we are working very closely even with our neighboring country, especially, I wouldn't say they are our competitor, I would say they are our collaborators within this region, because we want to brand this region itself as a medical center of the world. And in terms of our market share, at the moment, the figure that I have, as I mentioned, the trajectory from 2011 to 2019, there has been an increase of 90% of medical travelers coming into Malaysia. That itself is a statement. If we, without the pandemic, I would seriously project that the number will go much, much higher. So we want to continue this momentum moving out through this pandemic period in 2022 and moving into the future. But specific figure on market share at the moment, unfortunately, I cannot provide because I don't have.
On The Breakfast Grill, I'm in conversation with Mohammad Daud Mohammad Arif, CEO of MHTC, Malaysia Healthcare Travel Council. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back on The Breakfast Grill. We have Mohammad Daud Mohammad Arif, CEO of MHTC, Malaysia Healthcare Travel Council. And he's in the hot seat as we dissect their 2021 to 2025 Malaysia Healthcare Travel Industry Blueprint. Now, if you want to talk about Malaysia as a brand of travel healthcare, what are the best words to describe it?
Provide end-to-end seamless patient's journey into Malaysia. And also, if I can share one more sentence, we also guarantee safe and secure patient's experience coming into Malaysia to seek treatment.
You think that safe element has been a bit compromised with the handling of our pandemic in this country?
Well, looking at our track record, Philip, I can share also with the listener, I'm very happy to see, first and foremost, we have several level of safety put in place. First and foremost, for medical travelers come into Malaysia, the standard operating procedure or travel protocol come here is very, very strict. Why is it strict? We want to ensure that the safety of Malaysia citizens is our utmost priority to ensure that. Number two, the patient safety itself. When they come come here, they can be guaranteed that they are safe. Malaysian citizens are safe. The private hospital that catering for them are also safe. So that itself a great testimonial, I would say, that for us to showcase around the world.
And I always wonder, right, when you think about positioning Malaysia, you know, these elements of safety, many now I think will say these are the minimum requirements, right? The bare basic you have to at least deliver. So I just want to push you a bit more about the distinctiveness. What makes Malaysia so distinctive? What's its unique proposition in attracting medical tourism versus other countries? Because it can't just be purely on price, isn't it?
Yes. Well, we have a very strong, unique selling proposition when we want to compare ourselves with our neighboring countries or our competitors. First and foremost, I can share that we have, I would say, high international level quality of medical services that we are providing. We have a great, I would say, cross-the-board treatment that we can provide. And our member hospital that I mentioned just now, 73 of them are accredited at international level or even globally recognized accreditation authorities. Number two, as I mentioned, accessibility. In terms of seeking treatment in Malaysia, certain country you have to wait up to 3 to 6 months to even to get a consultation period, consultation appointment and treatment. In Malaysia, you can almost immediately get a consultation, meet an expert and also get their treatment. And finally, thirdly, as I mentioned just now, the cost of treatment in Malaysia is capped by the Ministry of Health to ensure that we are not over-commercializing our medical treatment in order to provide this opportunity to Malaysian as well as to international patients.
Which then makes me think about the target markets, because you very clearly said that the target segments and the countries that you are targeting are the likes of Indonesia, China, Vietnam, Cambodia, Singapore and Brunei. You know, all these markets, you know, with the exception of Singapore and Brunei, they are neighboring emerging market countries, right? Why did you target these countries and how is that mapped with the unique selling proposition that you were explaining just now?
These are the countries that some other destination have missed out in terms of the value proposition that they have. They are among the major countries that are a source of export patient into destination country. I give you an example for Myanmar, Cambodia, Vietnam. They have their medical facilities in their country, but they are looking for a better and higher confidence level in terms of moving abroad, seeking medical treatment elsewhere. So this is where MHTC, working very closely with the industry, targeted this country for the affluent category, affluent bracket of the people that is looking for treatment abroad. They can come to Malaysia and seek this treatment. It is, I would say, almost an easy market for us to go to and less competition rather than going to other countries that is not mentioned within. And with this industry, we have created a 15,000 job within the medical travel industry itself that benefit Malaysia. And investment that flows into our private healthcare facility have reached up to 10 billion ringgit since 2012.
So can we contrast, right, how you approach it? Because let's say you pick two countries, Indonesia and Singapore, you know, far end of the spectrum. How is your marketing strategy and your approach different between Indonesia and let's say with Singapore?
Very, very good question. I really like that one. So let me just explain. For Indonesia, their sentiment towards Malaysia is very strong. They are coming here to look from treatment across the board, from health screening to fertility to go for oncology and even cardiology or heart bypass. So we are very happy to see that. They have a very strong familiarity with Malaysia. The religion of Islamic religion has a very, I would say, resonate well with them in terms of having, I would say, worry-free treatment and worry-free in terms of food, halal food and all that. So Indonesia is a good market to go on various target treatment. So we are in Indonesia in many ways and promoting in many discipline of treatment. For Singapore, it's quite niche. So we are looking at what are the core treatment that we are good at rather than spend a lot of money promoting Malaysia across the board. We're looking at the niche treatment. For example, heart treatment. We have IJN, Institute Jantung Negara, well known for their heart treatment. So we go for this specific need. Fertility, we have a 8% success rate in our fertility treatment. So we go for that niche. So for those patients who really want or desperately look for this kind of treatment, they will not think twice to look at Malaysia and move into Malaysia when we promote Malaysia in that particular segment.
Yeah, so you've actually marked out also some clear priorities, right? IVF, cardiology, oncology, orthopedics, neurology, dental aesthetic, general health screening. You've actually marked out these are the kind of key clear priorities for MHTC and for the overall Malaysia healthcare tourism. So with the likes of Singapore, are you saying that you're just going to focus on these core offerings like IVF, cardiology and such and not do the things like general health screenings and aesthetic?
Well, we are lucky. We have other players, other Malaysian representatives in Singapore. For example, we take Singapore as an example market. We have Tourism Malaysia there. We have even our Maida and Madrid office in Singapore. We also have our ambassador in Singapore. They become our advocates to cast the net as wide as possible in all across all treatment that they can promote. But strategically for us, we are looking at this niche treatment so that our investment in terms of promotion can be very strategic, because we are not looking at Singapore alone. We are also looking at other countries. I'll give you an example for China. To cast the net as wide as possible in China would be meaningless because it's quite expensive in terms of investment. So we go very, very niche in terms of fertility. But in China, they have lifted the one-child policy. So now they are also looking at three-child policy in China. So there are many couples looking for opportunity to conceive and to see which destination that give them the best qualities or services in terms of fertility treatment and highest chances rate and high confidence level. And they are looking at Malaysia. And when we did this back in 2018 and 2019, it showed a very high result in terms of patients from China coming into Malaysia. So that's this strategy going specific on niche treatment for specific target market has worked very well for Malaysia in specific countries. So Singapore is also included in this strategy as well.
So I get your logic that these are niche, right? And I want you to shift our attention to the other country that's huge, which is Indonesia. And I presume you're casting the net a bit wider there. But the challenge about Indonesia is that it's also huge and it also covers many segments. And, you know, my experience also has been like in Penang, that whole Penang health cluster there, it's very much focused on a certain segment in Indonesia. There's also emerging health clusters also in Johor. How do you coordinate all these competing regional geographic markets that are competing with each other? It is a very impossible job, isn't it, to manage all this?
It is. Many states in Malaysia have the appetite for Indonesia market. They know that Indonesia market has great potential. So first and foremost,
and they fight for each other, isn't it?
Yes. Traditionally, Penang, Kuala Lumpur, Selangor, and Melaka, Johor, these are some of the key destinations for Indonesian traveler coming to Malaysia. But for us also, when we see the source destination, it's mostly Medan, Sumatra Island, Jawa, Surabaya. But for MHTC, moving into 2022, we want to look also at the second tier cities as well. So we're looking at Makassar. We're also looking at Kalimantan as a whole, how we can also, because they are shifting their capital to Kalimantan and Samarinda in the near future. So Sarawak has indicated they are interested into medical tourism. So we're working with Sarawak's STB, Sarawak Tourism Board, very closely to position Sarawak to cater for the Kalimantan patients come into Sarawak in the near. So we are ready for that future as well.
How are you going to bring patients when there are no flight?
Well, the flight is a chicken and egg question. When there is a flow of patients, the flight will come automatically. Sometimes we are waiting for the flight to come, then we will bring in the patient. But actually, to be realistic, I know the airline companies are waiting for the flow of patients first or flow of passengers, then they will want to have that. So we can start off with chartered flight as we did with Medan, we did with Jakarta right now. We can start with chartered flight, and then when the airline sees there's a promising future for flow of passengers, they will naturally build up, routes moving from certain cities to certain cities in Malaysia.
COVID-19 vaccine tourism. You know, there's a lot of talk about it, and I get it, right? Malaysia's vaccination rate is already past 95%. We should be well positioned to do it. But with the onset of Omicron and also with booster jabs, do you think it's a time to push for this?
You mean vaccine tourism?
Yes.
People to be vaccinated in Malaysia?
Yeah.
Well, that was one of the things that we were, I would say, exploring, but there are some key challenges of doing it. I know that Malaysia, initially, we have a shortage of vaccine in Malaysia. So we hold back, we let the priority goes to Malaysia. We want the Malaysian citizen be well taken care of, let all of our Malaysian citizens be vaccinated and also got their booster, then we want to move into international patients. But when we look at the possibility of vaccinating international patients in Malaysia, there are several challenges. One of these, which is that our protocol to bring in international patients into Malaysia just for vaccine is almost costly and prohibitive for international patients. And then we don't see the value proposition there for people to travel all the way, just get a vaccine and go back to their country. Secondly, when we see that the patients come into Malaysia, they can have their jabs at KLIA. They don't have to come into the country and they can go back. But when they go back, they are also subject to their home country quarantine status. So that itself is prohibitive. So we don't see there's any future for that. So at the end, we said better focus on Malaysian citizens. Let us be content and happy with the level of vaccination for the Malaysian citizen.
I want to get your perspective about the role of MHTC. And I have a suspicion that your biggest challenge isn't actually the promotion side, but it's the coordination with the multiple agencies and partners across the board, from the hospitals to the airlines to immigration to the airport to the hotels. Am I correct to say that your biggest headache is actually managing all these stakeholders with different objectives and different roles and functions?
You are partly right. That is one of our functions, to become a platform to bring all the players together, but it is not a headache for us. I look at it as an opportunity. I am very happy to see that the subsector has a wide enough layer that we can bring together to work with us in order to bring in revenue for the country and benefit the Malaysian citizen. I can safely say the benefit of Malaysia healthcare sector, not just for the private hospital, when we bring in all these individual players, including travel agency, including tourist guide, including, I would say, airlines and also rehab center, then we can see that the benefit of the industry can spill over to many other subsectors that will benefit the country specifically. really. So bringing in these people is an opportunity for MHTC. And you are right, this is one of our core function besides promoting Malaysia as a destination. And during this time, this is the opportune time, and we have done this very, very well. We are looking towards moving this into 2022 so that we can really roll out the Malaysia Healthcare Travel Blueprint together with the industry in order to hyphen up the revenue and create the benefit for the country.
Yeah, because that coordination is so core, right? To deliver that seamless experience that you talk about that reflects the brand of Malaysia as a healthcare travel location, which actually got me thinking, you know, because when I was looking at the blueprint and the governance structure, it struck me that, you know, the core steering committee and where it's led is all very Ministry of Health centric. But I would like to challenge you whether you think actually it should be jointly done with the Ministry of Tourism. Is there an issue that both can't work together?
Very, very good question. And it is an interesting, because I've been asked that question so many times, whether MHTC should be under the Ministry of Tourism or...
Since you were from the Ministry of Tourism before.
No, it was never. I just correct. Because it was from the Ministry of Health and Ministry of Finance from time to time. But let me just share. It is very closely related to tourism because it's medical tourism. But the nature of the business is heavily regulated. It's quite sensitive in terms of medical treatment, medical procedure, the act that we have to adhere to, the private sector, the private hospital have to adhere to. Those specific, I would say, guidelines, regulation are within the purview of Ministry of Health. And in that sense, I am very happy that MHTC to be under the Ministry of Health so that we can work very seamlessly within parent and I would say my organization and my parent ministry will be the working relationship will be more seamless. But not to say that we are not working with Ministry of Tourism. Our board member is comprehensive enough. We have the Secretary General of Ministry of Tourism in my board. We have the Secretary General of Ministry of Health. We have two ministers, so Vice Chair, which is YB KJ and YB Mustafa Muhammad. Both of them are within my board. And I have the DG of Health. So it's a strong, with some of the private sector in there, it's a strong composition of board that covers all sectors that we need to have their views and direction in moving forward.
You've been in the role for about 8 to 9 months. Tell me, as a leader, how will you change MHTC? What are the 3-4 big shifts you want MHTC to shift in your leadership?
Very, very good question. So I have to recap some of the things that I've mentioned just now. First and foremost, we have been looking at medical travel very closely at medical treatment, which we have been recognized to be one of the best destinations of healthcare travel previously. So now moving, things are not the same anymore. We cannot stay, strategy cannot remain the same. We have this pandemic upon us, so we need to change our strategy. We need to be very agile. So what do we do? As I mentioned just now, we need to expand our services offering. We need to work with other players. So medical treatment is our core backbone. Now let's look at rehabilitation. Who can do rehabilitation? Who can offer these services so that the offering value added that will benefit the economy of Malaysia can be expanded further so that the patient doesn't just come here, get their treatment and go back. They will also stay longer for their rehabilitation. Beyond that, let's work also, because I came from the Ministry of Tourism, my relationship with the hoteliers, the Hotel Association, Tourist Guide Association, Travel Agency Association, very close. And I also have a very close relationship with all 30 offices of Tourism Malaysia abroad. So we need to work with tourism fraternity as well and see how, at the moment, leisure travellers are very difficult for them to come. So I keep on telling them, don't tell that patients cannot come to Malaysia. Patients can still come. Medical tourism, tourists can still come to Malaysia. So focus your attention on promoting Malaysia as a medical healthcare destination and go and promote those patients to come into Malaysia. So the benefit can go across the board, and this is something that I want to bring into MHTC, moving this industry forward.
That's all the time we have for today. On The Breakfast Grill, Muhammad Daud Muhammad Arif, CEO of MHTC, Malaysia Healthcare Travel Council. I'm Philip C, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.